You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
In a typical recession, we often see men most at risk of unemployment. The gender composition of the workforce typically has men predominantly working in sectors such as construction, manufacturing, and trade. The production of new goods becomes less viable under the constraints of a failing economy. Under a COVID-19 linked recession, however, it is becoming increasingly clear women will bear the brunt of the impact to their incomes. There are growing concerns globally of what it will mean if women do not have the backing of their countries, with some positing that the small strides that have been made in financial freedom of women these past decades will be quickly lost. The United Nations Secretariat General Antonio Guterres encouraged a global effort to make women a priority in economic policy.
The COVID-19 pandemic affects everyone, everywhere. But it affects different groups of people differently, deepening existing inequalities. Early data indicates that the mortality rates from COVID-19 may be higher for men, but the pandemic is having devastating social and economic consequences for women and girls. Today, we are launching a report that shows how COVID-19 could reverse the limited progress that has been made on gender equality and women's rights, and recommends ways to put women's leadership and contributions at the heart of resilience and recovery. Nearly 60% of women around the world work in the informal economy, earning less, saving less, and at greater risk of falling into poverty. As markets fall and businesses close, millions of women's jobs have disappeared. At the same time, as they are losing paid employment, women's unpaid care work has increased exponentially as a result of school closures and the increased needs of older people. These currents are combining as never before to defeat women's rights and deny women's opportunities. Progress lost takes years to regain. Teenage girls out of school may never return. I urge governments to put women and girls at the center of their efforts to recover from COVID-19.
The comments made by Guterres that women are more likely to fall into poverty at this time is important as we consider what this means in the context of Aotearoa. Women and their families in New Zealand were financially struggling in the pre-COVID-19 world. Last year, the report In Work Poor in New Zealand showed the in-work poverty rate for women was 7.7%. That's 59,967 women. This was 1.1% higher than for men. Additionally, the in-work poverty rate is also substantially higher if the main earner in the household was female compared to male, regardless of household structure. While those figures are not meant to diminish men who experience poverty, we need to understand that in the way our labour market is set up, we are going to see many more women pushed deeper into poverty. In terms of our labour market, in 2018, New Zealand's hospitality sector employed 130,000 people, with women representing 57% of the workforce in the hospitality sector. To take that further, Auckland in particular has been a hotspot for hospitality, with close to 40% of business real estate in Aotearoa popping up in Auckland alone. That same year, 216,012 people were employed in tourism, accounting for 8% of the total labour force employed in New Zealand. Again, the tourism workforce trended towards that 60% part of female employment. In a post-COVID-19 world, without intervention, many women will be forced out of the labour market, potentially unable to have the opportunities to access it again for some time. Economist Mary Jo Vergara spoke with Newsroom to explain more about the current state of women in the workforce, indicating that prior to COVID-19, the figures of women in these industries was much higher than what was presented a few years back.
So unfortunately, women are particularly vulnerable by the measures taken in light of COVID-19, and that's largely because of their position in the labour market. So as you know, the service industries like retail, hospitality, they're the ones hardest hit by the business closures and the nationwide lockdown. But the thing is, women are overrepresented in these industries. So when you walk into a restaurant, generally speaking, you'll have a female waiter. If you walk into a clothing store, it'll be a female attendant. If you get your hair done, it'll probably be a female hairdresser. And in terms of context, in terms of numbers, women make up over 60% of sales and service support workers, and then over 70% of hospitality workers. And then also in terms of part-time work, part-time workers are probably the first to have their hours reduced or employment terminated. And the thing is, though, for women, again, they constitute the majority of the part-time workforce. So they constitute over 70%. And so that's a little concerning. When we see the ugly number of the unemployment rate, we'll see that the rise in the unemployment rate will probably be led by the rise in women's unemployment.
When it comes to working in Aotearoa, the situation becomes more dire when we incorporate figures of ethnicity amongst the conversation of gender. Pākehā women earn between $3 and $6 more per hour than Māori Pacifica and Asian women, and $1 to $4 more per hour than Māori Pacifica and Asian men. For Māori and Pacifica women, lower pay has largely been attributed to being in what is now controversially called low-skilled work. Co-director of The Workshop, Jess Berenson-Shaw, joined Newsroom to express the importance of taking a lens of equity when approaching economic policy.
The future of work has been addressed a lot prior to this crisis. We know that things are changing in the world, and so I think we have to get in front of that. We can be prepared for how we're actually going to diversify our economy, how we're going to do things differently. One of the things about low-paid workers being women is a large proportion of those are actually Māori and Pacifica women as well. So there's a real ethnicity component to this, which we have to actually do something about. And one of my concerns is that if we don't do our policy making through an equity lens, so we don't think about what the impact of every choice that we make and decision that we make now from a perspective of equity, and that's not just for women as a group, but for Māori and Pacifica women, for women with disabilities, then we're not going to transform our systems, essentially.
It sounds like an idealised approach in the interest of a just society to take a lens of equity. However, Parliament has had a limited number of conversations on this subject. During Tuesday's Economic Response Committee meeting, Finance Minister Grant Robertson had this to say on women's displacement in the job market.
If you look at some of the sectors that are most affected, both in terms of low wages, but also in terms of potential job loss and disruption, you know, industries like tourism, hospitality, retail, high number of female employees within those sectors. And so I'm certainly looking at that work now around what are the specific strategies that we could employ that ensure that our focus and our recovery includes support for women, particularly to be able to continue in work. I would have thought the early steps on that are very sound retraining policies, access to those, making sure that things like establishing small businesses and so on, all of that actually is supported. So I think that gender-based analysis of this is going to be a really important part coming out. Obviously, I want more women to be in the trades and in construction and areas where we know there's going to be a big investment. We should be pushing that hard, but also there's a recognition that that we need to work specifically on those people who've been displaced from those other sectors.
Our markets and workforce have changed because of COVID-19, and it would be wise to predict continued change over the coming years. New Zealand has the opportunity to address the inequality that exists and has been exacerbated by the novel coronavirus. The question is, will it?
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.